Psalm 47, we're going to read together the words of this psalm and then consider the words just found in one of these verses. Psalm 47, we're going to begin at verse 1. The scripture says, O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God, of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. This morning I want us to think particularly on what is said there at the beginning of verse 4. He shall choose our inheritance for us. I want us to think on that. And so I'm taking as my title, The Lord Chooses for Us. The Lord Chooses for Us. Before we go any further, let's just ask the Lord to bless his word. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you will allow the word of God be taken by the Spirit of God and used as that which both feeds and, Lord, causes us to understand. We pray that you will allow our souls to be drawn. We pray that you will allow our hearts to be fanned, that we would love thee more. Do all these things, O Lord, for the sake of the Lord Jesus. For we are his people, and we wait upon thee in thy word. Bless us now. Help me as thy servant. Allow the Spirit of God to do that work that takes the thoughts and directs them, allows them to point to the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you'll do these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we begin our consideration this morning, I want us to keep one thought particularly in mind. And that is this. Although there is an allusion being made here to the choosing of the inheritance by the Lord for a wandering people, namely the land of Canaan, the statement of the psalmist is that the choice of an inheritance is to be received from the hand of God, and that is particularly yet a future choice. David speaks of what has happened in the past, but he's also pointing forward to the future. And there can be no doubt but that the words here are meant to bring to Israel's mind a remembrance of how the Lord brought them into that land flowing with milk and honey. This picture is no doubt among the strongest and immediately grasped pictures that could be suggested to a child of Israel. But again, the instruction is not so much to consider the land itself that they inherited, but how the Lord brought it to them. The Lord chose, the Lord by his own hand brought, and the Lord set them in that place that he had determined for them to have. And so I say there is here a clear call to consider and remember the faithful preserving, protecting, and providing by the Lord our God. So I say also in these words, we have a statement of comparison. Just as the Lord brought the people of Israel to their land, he also will bring every believer to the place where he can enjoy his presence, all his bounty, all his graces, both in a physical sense, but even more so in a spiritual sense. So consider with me then, the Lord is providing a place for a people that he has called his own. The Lord provided for these people, even though they were an unworthy people. He provided manna, water, shoes and clothes that did not wear out. You know, the Lord provides for us that which will not wear out as well. His love, his grace, and the gospel will not cease to be used as the tool of God's own hand. And it will work that which is good till glory. But beyond that, he will preserve his people as he did at the Red Sea, or as he did in the defeat of the Canaan's kings. He will protect against all the devices of our enemy, as he did against the devices of Balaam, and turn the curse into a blessing. And so I say to you this morning that our text is not just a promise. It is a revelation of what we can expect from the hand of our God as we trust in him and are brought on our way home. But then too, it is also for us that this sweet word, that home will be, indicates that which is also chosen for us. We will not be left to imagine what it is to be in that place or how it is that we are to come to that place. The Lord will make that known to us. So I want us to consider then by way of proposition the following. Both the path of our redemption and the power of our redemption and the perpetual home brought and purchased by our redemption is given by the hand of our God. All things that relate to our redemption and our being brought home is given to us by the hand of our God. I have a very simple message this morning, and I will be done much sooner than normal. It was sort of interesting. It was commented to me this very morning that I say things are short and things will be direct, and then I always somehow stretch it out into something that is not even close to that description. I don't think that this will be the case, though. I've got three things I want you to see with me about this text. The first thing I want you to notice with me is the chooser. The chooser. He shall choose our inheritance for us. And so I say the immediate call of the psalmist is for the people of God to worship and be glad because the Lord is the chooser of all things that are in our path, that are brought to us, that are on our way as we move towards that eternal home. You say, how do you know that we are to be brought to the place of worship? How do you know that the psalmist is calling for us to be glad? Because at the very beginning of the psalm, it says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Here then, the whole of the focus for this psalm is not on the land. It's not on what the people are getting. It's not on what they're enjoying, but it's rather on the person that brings them there. May we not forget that. The focus of our mind must be on the fact that it is the Lord that brings the great blessing to his people. Verse 2 emphasizes that. For the Lord Most High is terrible, meaning that he strikes awe. He is a great king over all the earth. And I say to you this morning, it is very clear and without any controversy, that the statement of our text claims that it is the Lord alone who brings to his people that which has been chosen for them. This is where the mind and heart of the people of God are to stay. My God has brought me to where I am with him. My God will bring me all the way home, from beginning to ending, concerning my course through my days. It is my God that has chosen the various things that he would have for me to know and to enjoy. This knowledge, this contemplation, this place where we are to stay is, I say, for us the place of gladness. If your heart's fixed on these things, you will be a glad believer indeed. And you might say, well, how do you think that? How's that so? Well, I want you to think with me about three small little points here before I even get into developing what I'm trying to say. I want you to understand first that you must bear in mind that the Lord has made us. The Lord has made us. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now there's an obvious point. The Lord made us. We are created of God. But I want you to understand, you know, it's easy for us to say the Lord is our creator. And sometimes we just leave our thinking at that point. We just stop. But you must understand that the Lord did not create us to no purpose. He didn't create us just so that we would be. And I say that's often the way our mind and our understanding are guided, though. We tend to think that the Lord created us and then everything else is beyond that point really is governed by me. No, sir. We are created to be the sheep of his pasture. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what the Lord is saying by those words in Psalm 100? He has made us to be the sheep of his pasture. We are created then to love, to walk with, and to serve the Lord in whatever way and in whatever pasture he chooses. The Lord has made us, but he's made us for the purpose of walking with him and knowing him, enjoying him, and loving him. We could cite there the first catechism question. What's man's chief end? Well, then you have the earth. You have the same answer. So I want you to see that first. The Lord has made us. The second thing I'm going to say is the Lord has made us. You would say, no, wait a minute. You just said that. No. I said something different. Now, I'll explain to you what I mean. The Lord has made us, but listen to some verses that say what the Lord has made us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You have been made by your God not only to exist, and not only for his glory, but he has ordained and he has made it your lot by the power of the Lord Jesus that you are free from all the things that have to do with your old man, with the curse of the law, with all the things that are of depravity and so forth. You are made free. He has made you this. He has chosen that as your inheritance, that you would be free. Second, Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now there's another thing that God has made you. He has not only made you as a creature, one to walk before him and to do what he has ordained for you to do, but he has also made you one who is now accepted by him as in the beloved, meaning as Christ is loved, as Christ is known, as Christ will be blessed, so too are you. You are sitting in that place where the Lord Jesus sits, and it is by design of your God. He has made that for you. He has ordained that. He has chosen that for you. Colossians 1:12. giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There it speaks about the inheritance of the Lord. But there's something more that he has made you. He's not only made you to inherit, but he's also made you meet, or in other words, fit, or ready to be a partaker in this. The Lord is that one who has ordained that you would be freed from all those things that keep you from enjoying holiness and righteousness. We are made to be fit for Christ by the transforming power of the Spirit of God. Then you read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You've been made to be one as the Lord Jesus is, and that you are made to be a king and a priest to God. You could never do that. You could never be that unless there was a miracle-working power of God at work in you. But that's exactly what the Lord has done. He's chosen that as your inheritance. You have been chosen by God to be a king and a priest along with Jesus Christ. Do not forget that the Lord has made you, and he's made you for the purpose of being the sheep of his pasture. But also keep in mind that the Lord has made you to do certain things in you to make you to enjoy all that Christ is and all that Christ has brought to you by his finished work. And then I want you to see a third thing with me. Not only has the Lord made us, and as I just said, the Lord has made us, but I want you to see third, the Lord has made us. You say, again? Yes, I want you to see another aspect of this. 1 John 3, verse 2. Now, beloved, we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will be made like the Lord Jesus. In all the ways, save his deity, and save his claim as the Redeemer of God's elect, we will be loved of the Lord, we'll be known of the Lord. In all the ways that the Lord Jesus is blessed, he has made us to be partakers of that as well. Now, I want you to stop for a moment and think with me before I even get to my first sub-thought here. It must be borne in mind that the Father chose the way for the Lord Jesus. Do you know that? Do you understand that? All the days that the Lord Jesus came and walked upon this earth, they were all ordained, they were all purposed. The way that the Lord Jesus took, all the things that transpired with his life and his work, and ultimately his sacrifice and his resurrection, it was all chosen for him by the Father. The Father chose the way for the Lord Jesus from beginning to end. All that was brought into the life and work of Christ was ordered by the mind of God the Father. Now, we are to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What does that mean then? Like as the Lord Jesus had all things ordered for him during his days, child of God, that is true for you too. Our lot is to be as he is. The same hand that led the Lord Jesus is the hand that chooses and guides our way. Therefore, in all things that concerns the safety of our souls, the surrender of our lives, the serenity of our minds, and the success of our service is a result of the opening of the hand of God to us. He orders all things. May we not forget that he has made us, he chooses our way. Now, what can we say then about the chooser? Because that's the point that we're looking at. I want us to consider the chooser. We've made a comment, he has made us, yes. And I emphasized it three times to you, yes. But I want you to see then, as we consider his choosing, then we have to say first, his choices are born of perfect wisdom. His choices are born of perfect wisdom. You know, just think about yourself for a little bit. I know that's not a very healthy exercise for the most part. But I want us to be honest. When we think about our understanding and we think about our ability to choose our way, we'd have to say, we don't know anything. We are foolish and fickle in our hearts. We could never choose our way. May I put it to you this way? We would never choose a path, an inheritance that is right for us. You and I would never choose the right way. We are like sheep that have gone astray, everyone to his own way, and that way is out of God's way. It never would be. But the Lord chooses for us. The Lord chooses our land, so to speak. And as such, we'd have to say, now that means that it's going to be wonderful. Am I receiving any good, any joy? Is something that has, and I want you to hear me, it has been well thought through by the mind of a sovereign God. May I say that again? The way that the Lord would lead you, the wisdom of the Lord that is employed to bring you to that place of blessing and that place of gladness, that place of usefulness, and that place of likeness to Christ, is a way that our sovereign God has well thought through. He knoweth the way that I take. And not only does he know it, but he knows all parts of it. He knows the good of it. He knows the danger of it. He knows the stress of it. He knows the sorrows of it. And he has ordained it for his own glory, but also for my joy. Oh, child of God, understand this. There's nothing that is left to chance with our God. There's no such thing as luck or happenstance in the life of a child of God. It doesn't happen that way. The Lord has a plan for all of his people, all who have been given to the Lord Jesus. Their inheritance, their lot, their way, their path has been chosen by the hand of God. Now we might ask the question, how long has my inheritance and my way and my path been in the mind of God? When did he start thinking about me on these things? Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4 says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." The Lord is telling us plainly, before you ever were, before the foundation of the world was, the plan that he had for me as a part of the kingdom of Christ, as a part of the body of the Lord, has been determined by God. And so I stress, there is no leaving of the matter of the bringing of the people of God to their inheritance, to their own hands. It is the direction of God, and it is directed by perfect wisdom. Also, I want you to see this. His choices are born also of pure mercy. Perfect wisdom, but pure mercy. The Lord himself stands forth as the great king, which will not allow the failure of my coming to what he has determined that I should have in Christ. You know, silly man, depraved man, worldly man, and I'm including us in our failures in this as we prone to go the way of the counsel of our own hearts so often. Silly man runs to the place where he would consider himself as the cause of his way. We always like to think, well, I'm the reason why things are playing out as they are is because I did this or that. No. No. Sometimes we think that we have the blessing of God because we have in some way earned that. Again, no. Not at all. You did not earn any involvement of God in your life. The Lord was involved with you because of mercy. He was involved with you because of Christ. He was involved with you because of the covenant that existed before the foundation of the world. He did not involve himself because he found in you something that he commended and said, oh, I'm going to count that as an earning that I must pay back. In fact, I would say for the child of God who would think that the inheritance, the blessing, the good that he knows from the hand of God is something that he has earned, I say you are very much traveling down the road of thought that the worldling goes. The world thinks that we deserve and we gain because we've earned. No, sir. We are the product of God's mercy. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. There is not in my flesh any good thing. There's nothing that commends me to God. In fact, I'd say this. The only thing that the world ever earns or that you in the world would ever earn is destruction. You earned that. But not all the blessings and the mercies of God. Well, I want us to think on that. It was the Lord who is our chooser and has been and will be. I want us to see the second then, the choice. We see the chooser, now the choice. The question arises then, what is the inheritance that is spoken of here? What is that exactly? Well, we can most certainly say the inheritance that we're talking about is, without a doubt, our perpetual home, that place ultimately to which we will come. Psalm 37, verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. That place where we will dwell with the Lord forever is being spoken of here. And so I say that the Lord, in his mercy, has determined that for us, our inheritance will be glory itself, that place where he is. Matthew 25, verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, understand for us then the gift of the Lord, the inheritance of which we speak then, is life, and a life that I will know in his presence. Not a life apart from him, but a place where he is, that I may ever be everlastingly. That is my inheritance. That's of which we speak, and the Lord has chosen that. In fact, I think in that very thought, you see the power and the wonder of John 10, verses 28 and 29 explained, where the Savior is arguing there with the Pharisees, and he speaks of his union with the Father and the purpose of the Father to maintain the life of those that have been given to the Lord Jesus. And he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, let us understand it. It has been determined and chosen that my dwelling place will be with the Lord Jesus, that where he is, there I might be also. That has been chosen for me by the purpose of God. So that is one thing that's spoken of. The other thing I would have you to see is this. Not only is the permanent home spoken of, but also the path. The path to get there is involved here. We've already referred to this in some way. But let me just say, the way home, the way to where the Lord would have us to dwell with him everlastingly, is chosen for the people of God. Some will say, oh, you know, you're starting to talk about fate. You're starting to talk about all things. No, 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 no. There is no such thing. I want you to see, though, that the very path over which the people of Israel marched was given to them by the hand of God to pass over. You know, when the Israelites passed over the area there that was through the Red Sea, it makes a comment in the scripture that when they went through, they were on dry ground. You understand that thought? It wasn't that they were on soggy ground. There was not, no Israelite had any mud on the bottom of his sandal. It was a prepared ground for him, his family, his wagons, his sheep, his camels, whatever he had. Everything went through on solid footing. There was dry ground for them to walk through. You understand? The way home for them was a prepared way. Not so much for the Egyptians. When they started to enter into the sea, I think perhaps, and this is just a conjecture, as the waters were about to cover them up, I would tend to think that they found the bottom of that sea all of a sudden a quagmire that they couldn't get through. It became a muddy mess. Their chariot wheels weren't turning. Why was that? Because the Lord was soon going to cover them up. The way of the world is a way that is very much different than the way of the Christian. Our path home to glory is a prepared way. Now let me just get more specific. What is our path? And I would have to say, Calvary is our path home. The way of the cross leads home is the old hymn title. Calvary is my inheritance. It has been ordained before the foundation of the world that I would walk on redemption ground, that I would walk on the grounds of the work of the Lord Jesus, that I would be able to come home to glory in that way that Christ has established by his own person and work as he was on this earth. And I say, everything that was done at Calvary is mine. All the things that are provided by that work are mine. Forgiveness, cleansing, peace with God. Every grace, it's all chosen for me to have and to hold. There is nothing withheld. Understand this, child of God. Every single thing that the Lord Jesus purchased for you has been provided and is being provided for you. The pathway home is a prepared way. But also I would have you understand the power also that leads us home, the power of the cross is also ordained. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. What does that mean? Well, it means you have an inheritance. Absolutely. It means that what the Lord has ordained from the council of eternity to be applied to me will be applied to me. That's exactly right. But there's also something else here that's in those words of Peter. And that is that you as a child of God have been ordained, it has been chosen for you that you will not miss the power of the cross. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm on my own. And the things that I would do for God, I have to do in my own strength. Or I have to overcome this thing that's within my heart in my own strength. Or I have to do something with regard to enduring, I have to well up within me an ability to stay the course by myself. Absolutely not. God has chosen for the people of God that the power of the cross will be that power that they will know in their hearts and lives all the way through to glory. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood will never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The power of the blood of Christ. It has been ordained for you, child of God, to be that which the Lord will allow you to see at work in you as He leads you to that prepared home. Well, I want us to see then last, we saw the chooser, we saw the choice, now I want to consider the choosing. The choosing. The fact that the Lord chooses says much about the quality of the choice. The choice itself, the choosing itself, the act of choosing our inheritance. I want you to see just a couple things. First, I want you to see that the way of the Lord's choosing is only the very best and pure way. Can my soul be more satisfied by some other imagined way to get home or to approach God than what He has ordained? Well, the short answer is no. No, you're not going to be more satisfied than by the way that Jesus has purchased, by the way that the Father has ordained. This is the pure and holy way. This is the way that will do the work that needs to be done. The choosing that He does is a choosing of perfection. Some may ask the question, is there some better hope than Calvary in the gospel? Don't we need to throw some human work in there along the way? Do we not need to throw some ceremony or some aesthetic thing in there to make it seem to be more holy? No, sir. The hope of the people of God is the gospel itself. That God has chosen as the means of doing the work of Christ and bringing home the people of God. It is the perfect way. There is nothing that can be added to it that makes it more. But also I want you to see this. The fact that the Lord chooses displays His intent. And by that I mean the Lord chooses for us to enjoy what He has made. Our God does not call us to misery. Even in hardship, even in suffering, the Lord never calls the people of God to misery. That is purely a manufactured substance or commodity, if you'll call it, of the devil himself. There is no miserable Christian. Now, there may be a dissatisfied one. There may be one that feels the weight of his own failings. He may say he is miserable. He doesn't know what misery is. Unless he were being made to bear the weight of his sin and all the things that comes with that. No, the Lord our God has chosen for us to enjoy Him and Him forever. Again, what is the first catechism question that we ask? What is man's chief end? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That would mean then that the Lord will not withhold any good thing from us. You know, the psalmist says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Why? Again, keep in mind this, child of God, all that we have been saying. He has chosen our way. He has given us a perfected way because He has chosen these things for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Again, all that I am saying this morning about the perfection of the choice of God for you is founded, it is grounded on the fact that all that God chooses for me, He does so for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Now, we would have to ask a question. Is the Lord going to choose something for you that is inferior in its effects or in its quality? If it is for the sake of the Lord Jesus? Or will it be that which is of a superior nature? Will it be the finest? Will it be the holiest and the purest? Oh, I don't think that there's any question in that. It is for Jesus' sake. So, what does all this mean to me? Well, number one, I am to rest in this knowledge. I am to rest my soul. My God has chosen and is choosing all things for me for Jesus' sake. Even if it seems to be a hard moment, it's chosen for me for the glory of God and for my joy. But it also means that the Lord has chosen my way, He's chosen my inheritance, because He has also chosen these things for Christ, I am one now who is to follow. I am to follow closely what my Lord has said, what He has indicated for me is His way. He chooses my way, then it's my place to go and search out the things that I know to be attending to that way and to do them with all my heart. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. The Lord chooses our way, for He loves us. Even though we'd have to say we're no better than old Jacob. Yeah. He still chooses. Well, may the Lord be pleased to allow His word to do within our hearts what He sent for it to do this morning for Jesus' sake. Let's all pray then. Our Father and our God, now we would pray that You'll bless the Word of God, that You'll allow it to be used by Thy Spirit. We would pray, O God, that You would let it be that which corrects our thinking, but also leads us to that place of rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Lord, do a work that causes us to be set aside in our minds and hearts only for the purpose and the glory of Christ. May we die to self as we realize what You are doing to lead us home. Bless now the word as it's gone forth. We would pray, keep us in Thy fear as we walk before Thee in this Thy day. We ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.